Welcome to the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Favia and Associates. This is your host, Nick Augustine, and today our guest is Chicago real estate and mortgage professional, Mr. Peter Lasacco. Peter Lasacco is a Chicago area real estate and mortgage professional with 30 years of experience working with people and families making moves at various stages in their lives. In this episode of the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, Peter focuses on real estate issues for families in transition. So whether it be planning for retirement or handling property matters after a loved one has passed, there are unique challenges and solutions for families. Let's say good afternoon to Peter Lasacco.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing well. Thank you for giving us a bit of your time to talk about these important issues for real estate for families in transition.
No problem, anytime.
Well, let's start by telling us a little bit about your background, how you got into Chicago real estate, and how you function in the real estate as well as a mortgage broker and everything else under the sun that comes to real estate issues.
Well, I have been selling real estate for 30 years. And also, I've been doing mortgages for 30 years as well. Started in 1989, 1990, and focus on the Chicago land area and suburbs mainly. I was kind of attracted by the fact that I could help people selling at home and buying a house. It's such a big financial broad to do it. So that's the reason why I decided to get involved.
Well, and some of the things right now that we look at when we talk about our senior community, there is all sorts of issues where family may not be in the area, the home may be sold, the home, you know, after someone passes, the children might be living in another state. You know, we see all these ads about different mortgage options and the reverse mortgage. So much information out there and so many things that especially the children of aging senior parents want to know about. So when we talk about those things, you know, let's, I guess, like start with what are some of the issues that you see in the senior community and what they face with real estate and mortgage questions?
Now, first of all, they all think they are ready to sell, but at the end, they are not yet because of the fact that the house needs preparation. They don't realize that they have to kind of fix up the house a little bit, painting and do some decluttering of the home to make it presentable. And also the fact that a lot of them, they think they can qualify to be able to get a smaller home, but unfortunately, at that age, not having a job, it's kind of an issue. Hopefully they have a lot of equity to the property and they're able to use that equity to transfer in a smaller property. But a lot of the time they use equity, to live on because the pension might not be enough. And also, you know, there is you're moving out of it, that you're sure you can go somewhere, and there's a lot of preparation as far as you got to hire a mover, you got to move out, you don't know where to go. And, you know, there's a lot of issues and that needs to be talked about. So I always suggest everybody to, before you put the home on the market, to actually talk to an expert and somebody that actually can, you can trust, just as the attorney itself, or find a realtor that you can trust because it's important. At that kind of age, people may take advantage of you. So you really have to work with someone that can protect your interest and sell your home.
Mm-hmm. And when you are contacted by people who have a question about an aging parent, is it common that they're in the same neighborhood or area, or are some of them out of state? Who exactly is it that you work with, and who is the client in a lot of those situations?
Well, a lot of the time, the people that just we do a lot of marketing, and sometimes they just call in to have an evaluation on their home, and they want to know how much that home is worth. It sometimes maybe the homeowner itself, the older person, or maybe even a family, and they wanted to know. Most of the time, sometimes the individual's already passed, and you find the heir going there and trying to put the house together and understanding value and trying to sell the house and, you know, all that. And so we go over there, we give them an evaluation and tell them what they need to do to be able to get top price for the particular home. They might need to do some painting. They need to do some work before they put it on the market. But sometimes you just have the older lady calling you, and older man maybe, a little bit scared sometimes, and trying to understand a little bit more what's the value. But most of the time it ends up in the end with the kids, that they are taking care of it, making sure their parents' interest is protected.
You know, when you think about protecting someone's assets, we think of real estate first and foremost often. And in different real estate markets, it might be time to sell. It might be time to buy. Some people might want to, let's say if their parents are going to go into a senior facility, for example, one might want to keep that house, clean it up, and rent it and use it as a short-term or, you know, a long-term rental instead of selling. Is that something that you see frequently?
When someone decided to sell, you know, my understanding is that most of the children, they ended up selling their home before because they don't want to take care of the rental, or they need that money to be able to use it into the nursing facility. They need some cash flow to be able to do so. So it's hard for them just to leave the house there and, you know, take care of the rental and take care of the house. They just need their money to be able to actually use it to take care of their parents at that time. So, and that's what most of the people do.
Mm-hmm. My experience, I've talked to a lot of people who, my real estate friends, where the children of the parents might be out of state. They might be living somewhere else. So what are some of the things that people can expect when dealing with that? Because, if the kids are not there and the parent, you know, may be in a situation. A lot of times it seems like these things occur after something has happened. There's been a fall. There's been an accident. There's been a medical situation. And the parent may be going into a care facility, and the parent might not be able to make their own decisions and make their own calls. So when we look at sale of properties or whether to sell or whether to keep and rent, we're looking at things as people are getting to the senior point in life, or in situations where someone is passed along. So wills and trusts come up pretty often. What are some things that, in your experience as a real estate professional, that people should be aware of with wills and trusts, especially when it comes to their parents and real estate, and what to expect?
Now, we usually recommend an attorney, like Michael Fabia. He's an expert in that, and what he does is pretty much sets them up for what they need to know and explains them all their situation. Definitely someone that knows what to say and what to do with this kind of situation. And he's just an expert in this. So when someone calls me and there's that kind of situation, we generally trying to recommend an attorney that can take care of those legal issues before even they start the whole process. Because before you start the old process, you want to make sure that everything is legally set. Maybe when you sell, it might be a little bit too late to do that. So you want to make sure everything is set before even you put the house on the market, just to make sure where the money has to go, how the money has to be divided to kids or to nursing homes. So they need to kind of understand the whole process.
Right. Well, and also it's so important to have someone you can trust who knows real estate, and as, you know, the individual working with attorney Mike Favia and, you know, doing these podcasts and marketing, we try to really focus on how different, you know, just things like property taxes in Cook County, Illinois are different than in Lake or DuPage County. So how things are handled with appraisals of property for, you know, purposes of taxes and this. There's a lot there that's back and forth, and you need to be a few steps ahead of the game and know what's going on. And if no one's looked at any of these things, you could have, you know, mom or dad living in a high rise or a two flat or, you know, a house in a suburban area where not a lot has happened for a long time. And, you know, we see the, you know, a house comes on the market that is looks undervalued or is much less than you look at. It's never been rehabbed. It's got all the same original, you know, a lot of the original features from when the house was originally, you know, built. So, you know, you sort of can look at, does it make sense to go in and rehab that house and put money in to flip it and make more money? Or, you know, what are some options there? And is that something that you come across somewhat? Or do people usually have a lot of those homes updated? Because I've seen them with the wallpaper and the pink bathrooms.
Yeah, that happens all the time. See, you know, I just it is imperative, I would say, to just go and meet clients and kind of like go to the house, and they need it, to be able to get top money. You have to kind of like paint sometimes, kind of move things around, you know, repair what needs to be repaired, because it makes such a big difference to be able to have a house that is clean when somebody comes in. Organize, and they can have a better view of their home, and they can have a better understanding of where they're going to live. If the house is not well organized, and the walls are good, you know, there's old wallpaper, or the bathroom are very old. You know, I'm not saying major remodeling, but just like a freshen up a little bit as much as you can to make it more appealing to the buyer. This way, you can get top money for your house instead of just selling it below. Just because it does not have a painting or it doesn't have minor touch-up things are necessary to be able to get top pricing.
Yeah, a lot of things to consider there, especially when trying to make those decisions on what to do with the house, whether to put money in, and especially if someone has passed, you may have an executor who is unsure of, you know, what to do with that situation, especially if there's not money available to go through the process of rehabbing and getting a house tuned up to speed to where it can catch full market potential. There's some decisions and things to do there, especially when there's an executor and then there's other people in the family who might have disagreements on what should happen with mom and dad's house. You know, so, I mean, it's not only when people are sick and cannot make those decisions handling real estate, there's also questions of what happens when, you know, someone has passed and you've got children there who are unable to agree. What do they do?
You know, it is sometimes maybe very difficult to be able to deal with the family members because, as you mentioned before, sometimes they're out of town and, so what we try to do, we're trying to explain the homeowner as much as we can about the old process. And also we trying to suggest to talk to an attorney, trying to figure out exactly how things they have to be divided and what's the best way of getting things done. So to an attorney, they'll be explained exactly what and how the money can be divided and the old process. And then we come in, we also try to explain the homeowner what we do and how we do it and to make an easy transaction, trying to help them as much as we can. But because we're not an attorney, unfortunately, at this point, we cannot give legal advice to the client, so we just stick with the real estate and what, you know, what's about the house and about selling and how much money they can make and things like that.
It's important to have a good will and trust attorney to have everything figured out and someone who can talk to everyone and explain the different options and what may happen if we choose this option or that option. And backing up where we may have seniors who are still living, but maybe going into a senior care facility or going to go live with another family member, and that is something that we see more and more frequently, especially, you know, where we look at different cultures, you know, around the world, it's normal in a lot of cultures for senior parents to go move in with the children and have them cared for in that aspect, especially with the increased cost. The cost of care facilities and nursing homes is significant, and not everyone can afford to do that. And so, you know, there's something there, and that might be a good option for some people. And that might require making some additions or changes to your home so that a senior family member has ease of mobility, they can get around, they can reach things. So do you work with people who can go in as contractors and help people with those situations to make the home ready for mom or dad?
Yeah, we do. Matter of fact, we have people that we trust, and we've done work in the past to be able to kind of like remodel the home a little bit and trying to get them in and try to make some adjustment to make the house more sellable. The other thing is that most of the time, just to go back a little bit, it happens to me that there's no kids. There's only the parents themselves. So like we had sold a house like 1 year ago, and there was this gentleman older and by himself with a big house and stuff like that. And at one point, I had to even have a car and stuff. I had to set up a meeting with the nursing home so he could talk to and accompany him to make sure he could he knew where he was going and several interview how much it was going to cost him and stuff like that and decide what he wanted to go. So I had to set up a meeting with a nursing home itself to be able to for him to decide what he wanted to go and try to also organize the moving date between the selling time of the house so he could go on into the facility. So there is a lot of little detail. And at the end, you always want to find someone who's willing to make the extra step like we did to take him over to the nursing home and have an interview and take him back and forth and make him understand what was his option. And, you know, the whole happened and now he's happy with that. So, and then also, as you mentioned, getting the contractor in, dealing with the contractor to make sure they don't take advantage of the homeowner, because a lot of times there are people out there that take advantage of it, and trying to follow the homeowner with all different steps necessary for him to be able to get what he needs and go on with his life.
Mm-hmm. And finding people you can trust and trusting the information sometimes is the hardest part, is especially when I think of things like I see the ads on TV for reverse mortgages, and I still don't really have my head wrapped around the concept of how those really work. And I think that reverse mortgages have come under criticism when they've been used in ways that maybe they weren't intended. You know, there's always options out there that work for some, but when you apply it to everyone, it doesn't make sense for everyone. But can you explain to me how these reverse mortgages work, and when is it a good idea to consider that?
Well, reverse mortgage is an option that the bank gives to the homeowner to be able to stay in the house for a certain period of time, actually forever, until all the equity is completely runs out of it. So what they do, they pretty much allow you, based on your equity and value, to keep making payment to the homeowner itself. They can even get a check out of that every month and paying the mortgages if they have a balance on that. And they give you an option to stay there until, you know, you expire pretty much. So, and but sometimes you got to be careful because the homeowner take cash out. You can take actually cash out of the house with a reverse mortgage, and they overextend themselves, and they don't have no more equity to the property, so there's other options. It's kind of like a very delicate subject and requires, you know, a lot of understanding how everything works. But, yeah, there's an option now. But I also suggest most of the time, if you really want to be into the house, reverse mortgage can be a good option. But most of the time, it's just better to just sell it and get a smaller place for yourself and manage your own money instead of letting the bank doing so.
Anytime you get involved with, you know, banks and lenders and different things. There's a wide variety of opinions out there on what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. And, you know, as we plan for the future and retirement, it's often, you know, we project we're going to live to a certain age, and the finance people can say you need to do this and do that to save enough money. But what happens when you live longer? You know, with so much medical advance and technology, people are living longer and longer. So that's a scary part for a lot of people who retire and say, I'm going to do this for this long, and my house is paid for, but my taxes keep going up. And, you know, sometimes it's the taxes that are causing people difficulty. Do you find that, like, with disputing the taxes, that's something that Michael Favia and I talk about with people, and, you know, on these podcasts and information, and also on the website for favialawfirm.com, we'll put out articles about, you know, tax issues and how to dispute the taxes, because especially if you are on a fixed income and your taxes keep going up and you don't dispute those, that can be a real big problem for people because the mortgage is paid off. But again, if those taxes keep going up, and that's a problem in Chicago, the taxes have been going up and they keep going up, and people don't really know what to do. So what are your thoughts on disputing taxes and different people live in different areas? Because again, it's different in whether you're living in the city of Chicago or you're living in one of the suburban communities. They have different rules for all that.
Well, this is such a great subject. Now that you brought it up, it's like so essential. And I found out as a real estate agent that a lot of the people don't even ask for the homeowner exemption. You'd be surprised. So people owning the house for so long, they don't even have the homeowner exemption yet. Did they ever even filed it for it? And a lot of the people also are paying much more than what they need to pay for taxes, and they're not aware of the fact that actually they can pay much less. Or they don't have the correct exemption on the home, or the valuation of the house for assessment reason is not correct. And so why pay more when you can have someone just look at it and make sure that you're paying the correct amount? And I personally have a lot of experience with seeing taxes, and a lot of people just pay more than what they need to. And I understand why they do that. There's no reason for it.
I can imagine going through issues like this with my mother. My father has passed, my mother is still, and they sold their house before my father passed. He had cancer. And that said, had my father lived longer and I'm just trying to imagine having that conversation where I'm saying, Dad, you are paying too much in taxes. You need to let me help you. And I would get a loud and resounding no. It's my business, my house. You stay out of it. Don't pick my bones until I'm gone. You know, all of those conversations. Because aging parents don't – it's very difficult towards the end of your life to lose control of your affairs, to not be as sharp as you were before, and it's got to be really scary for people who don't know what to do, and especially for children whose parents won't let them help you. So when you talk about having difficult conversations, especially when you go with trusts and estate planning, there are levels at which, you know, people might intervene with the courts to get court orders to take over and intervene, or these things can be handled a little more sensitively. So that's got to be a difficult thing right there.
Oh, for sure it is. I mean, it's a lot of time. It's just parents, as they age, they become very stubborn about their financial and stuff. And that's the reason why it's always good to let them talk to someone, maybe that it's not directly involved, like an attorney. And I'm sure Michael knows about and did so much on these purposes, and that he's very well known and knowledgeable, that he can just explain so they can understand what they need to do before it's too late.
Right. Well, and I always say to people, especially when I'm working on trust and estate issues and explaining to people, we always say, have these discussions with your family members while everyone is healthy and doing well. Holidays are a good time to talk about that. And I know that when my father passed, my mother went and she had her will redone and power of attorney for health care, power of attorney for this and that, and, you know, told us as children, and I'm the oldest, and it was, here's the box of where the information is, passwords, keys, this and that. You know, getting your children prepared for what happens while everyone is healthy, especially, too, when people are working on trying to decide who's going to be the executor of the estate. It's, you know, which kids live nearby, which ones are trusted and not, because after something happens and someone passes and the estate planning things start happening, there's all sorts of times, unfortunately, in probate court that I've seen happy families turn against each other, and it's sad.
Yeah, that happens all the time, actually. You know, everybody, when it's especially inheritances and last-minute thing, and there is so much to plan, and also the wishes when somebody is about to die. I mean, what do you want to do with them? You want to keep it alive? Who's responsible for this? Also, those are medical issues that need to be discussed and before you reach the end. And, you know, if the government is, at the end, the state takes over your money, and it's going to take forever to get them back. So you have to be prepared to make sure that everything is organized. If something happens, you know where everything goes. And so wasting money and spending so much time trying to get your own money back is just hard at that point.
Right, right. Know what your will says, know what your trust document says, and update those. No. I always wonder why it is that people wait until they're taking a vacation overseas in order to get their will done, because you can lose your life, you know, what do they say, most car accidents and things happen within 10 miles or 5 miles of your home. You know, we don't have to go far in order to have a life event that changes, and especially now being sensitive with everything going on with COVID-19 and all the other health concerns that are out there, I think it's really important that people take a good hard look at what the issues are that are facing themselves and seniors and the family in the future, and how to be proactive and start this. And my recommendation to people is find a realtor you can trust and talk about what's going to happen with the home while you are also talking about wills, trust, and planning for the future, and having that realtor set up so that you have a relationship with them. And you, Peter, as a realtor, can go in and tell them, you know, they say, what should we do to update mom or dad's house now when everything is well and, you know, mom and dad might have the money to do that, and, you know, and what's going to be better for everyone in the future. So it's all about being proactive when people are well and healthy if you can.
Yeah, exactly correct. And I felt it, you know, with time, I think older people, and they don't want to think about dying and stuff, and they don't want to talk about that. But unfortunately,
right,
we all have to die one day. So
death and taxes, right?
Yeah, you have to organize yourself, and you have to make sure that everything is set the way that needs to be set. So definitely a will is something that you need to do before something happened, maybe maybe too late then.
So. All right. Peter, for people who want to follow up with you and get more information and get you in their phone and start a dialogue, how should people best get a hold of you?
Oh, they can reach me on my cell phone, which is 773-858-7257. I'm usually available all the time. That's the best number to reach me. And we will actually give you a pre-home evaluation or a free consultation.
All right, absolutely. And for people who do have questions about real estate and disputing taxes, wills, trusts, and everything that happens with our parents as they face their senior years, Michael V. Favia & Associates is a great place. You can get help there through Attorney Mike Favia and his wide network of colleagues that help in these areas at 312-609-6666. Again, 312-609-6666, and they have offices in Chicago and Rolling Meadows. Again, this has been Nick Augustine with the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Podcast, the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, again, brought to you by the Favia Law Firm. I'm here today with Peter Losacco, and he's been a great asset with all sorts of information. I hope that you do call him. His number, again, is 773 773- 858-7257. Peter, thank you again for your time, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank
you.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks a lot. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for everyone also who listened to this podcast, and if you find it in your social media, please do share this because you never know who's looking for exactly this information. Again, this has been Nick Augustine for the Favio Law Firm. We thank you for your time.